Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Heal Podcast. I'm Kelly Noonan Gorris, and every week I speak to the leading doctors, healers, spiritual teachers, and scientists to find out what is truly possible when it comes to healing. I also interview real people with extraordinary healing stories. My philosophy is, what's possible for one is possible for all. And I've discovered on my journey that so much more is possible than we can begin to imagine. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Heal Podcast. Today, I'm super excited about my guest, the beautiful Aggie Lal. She was a blogger, lifestyle and travel, traveled the world, shining, and then a nutritional coach. And she just wrote an amazing book called Biohack Like a Woman, How to Get Fit Effortlessly, Feel Beautiful, and Have More Energy, and Unleash Your Superpowers with Biohacking. It is so good. I read it in preparation for this interview, and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to get back on my game. I've let myself go. This is like, it's so, I just can't wait to dive in. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me. I have been a fan of yours for I don't even remember. I've swear word already right at the beginning, but it's been so long, and your documentary changed my life and just empowered me to believe I can heal myself. And I mentioned to you that heal is such a powerful word. People are scared to use it because it's that powerful. But this is how powerful the interview was for me, at least. And so I think I watched it multiple times. Even during pandemic, I'm like, I want to watch it again.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, you really changed my life. So when you reached out, I was like, me? Your podcast? I'm like, duh, yeah. I would just come to just say thank you for everything that you've done.
Gosh, thank you. Well, I had no idea. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, that's truly an honor to hear that.
I was holding. I was gonna say it before, and I'm like, no, I'm gonna say it on camera because I want to just like acknowledge everything that you're doing.
Thank you, seriously. Yeah. Thank you so much. And you, I love your personal story. Just to kick it off with that, because you know, I followed you when you were a travel blogger, and you know, traveling the world, and everybody was like, oh gosh, I wish I was in Bali, or I wish I was here. And and you seemed like you seemed like the pillar of health. So I'd love for you to share your personal story of healing.
Yes.
And everything you discovered to lead you to become this like amazing biohacker that you are today.
Yeah, I feel like my story would actually fit into the documentary and the story of different people, of these like mysterious conditions that I couldn't overcome for the longest time, and you know, no doctor could help. And
totally,
fast forward to now, I feel incredible. But I started as a travel blogger, had, you would think, a dream job, traveling the world 300 days a year. But what I didn't realize, a couple of things. A 7-hour flight is equal to an x-ray when it comes to radiation, and I was flying a lot, not fully understanding how I can compensate the fact that I'm so much in the air. You know, you're drinking out of plastic bottles, you're eating airport food, et cetera, et cetera. And I was also on a heavily like vegan diet, but not like exactly healthy vegan, because as you travel, you don't have as many options as you do at Irwan. So I kept feeling worse and worse and worse, but because we normalized having coffees or being tired or not overflowing of energy, it just felt normal, you know. It just felt like something, what you know, as I was getting closer to the my 30th birthday, I was like, okay, this is what happens when you're 30, just have another coffee and it's gonna be my
second. And I'm busy, so of course I'm tired a little bit.
And so over time then, and my hair started falling out and my skin got really, really bad. I had acne all over the place, everywhere. Like, it was just painful skin. And obviously this is where a woman starts paying attention, because when we're just not full of energy, or when we're not thriving, it's almost like it doesn't really matter. Like, at least for me, because it was just like, I can push myself. You know, we're so used to pushing ourselves. Yeah. That was like totally fine. I'll just have another coffee. But when it came to my looks, I was like, oh, now you got my attention. And sadly, that was reality for me. I wish that wasn't the case. And I wish I see things very differently now. Mm-hmm. But that's where, okay, I was like, okay, something is off. I need to figure it out. I had access to the best doctors in New York. And, you know, they would just say like, oh, you know, this is what it is. You know, we can't really find anything. It doesn't seem like you're malnourished. You know, maybe you should do Accutane, which is, you know, like the medication that absolutely destroys your liver.
Yeah.
And so I did that, and just like it really damaged my body, and I still didn't know what was actually the root cause. Like, what are we really healing? Like, it felt like the skin doctor is healing the skin, and, you know, dermatologist, and then, you know, trying to find someone from her. And it just didn't feel like there was one doctor that would be looking at things holistically. And I think in my journey was finding the right naturopath. And she was like, I think you should look into your gut and heavy metals and see your hormones. And even though my hormones were perfectly fine, I had very high heavy metals. Mm. And then massive leaky gut issues. You know, I did a gut test. And so that was the beginning of like, oh, wait, like, what can I do about the gut? What is leaky gut? Like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And so that's how it started. I know you just hosted Dave Asprey. I had, I would listen to him, but I didn't want him to be right about a lot of things, because I was just like, oh, you might have to introduce a little bit of animal protein. I was like, no, I'm going to go more raw vegan. And like, for me personally, introducing a little bit of animal protein has been a game changer to get more energy. That might not be true for everybody, but that for me was just like claiming my power back and realizing, okay, maybe instead of following a fad diet, I would like to see what resonates with my body. Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest, right? To figure out what, you know, your body knows best. She knows best what's best for you.
Totally. That's like my work right now, is like how, especially with like AI and all of these, you know, Photoshop and technology getting so much better, we don't know what's real. And then, of course, just what's happened with mainstream media in the last few years, it's like, I just don't know. We have to really be discerning about what's true and do our own research. And really, when it comes to healing, is tuning in, just like stop searching externally and tuning into our own intelligence, because our body is speaking to us through symptoms. You say so many brilliant things in the book, but on this subject, you know, at some point you said, I had to stop and shift my perspective rather than being annoyed with my body, like, oh, my body's not listening to me, like, I'm doing all the right things, I'm vegan, I'm eating vegetables, and I'm running, and whatever you were doing, and shifting it to, oh, maybe it's not me who's listening, or me, it's who's not listening to my body. And that's so profound, because symptoms, as you say in the book as well, do not define me. They are merely feedback from my body. And I think a lot of people get really sucked into this and battling the symptoms that are coming up. And their immediate thought is, ugh, my body is failing me, rather than my body is my biggest ally. And actually, whether it's the environment or unconscious choices we're making are not in alignment with our body's best.
Yeah, and the environment, right? So we get so disconnected from the environment that we, you know, we just turn on our conditioning, we adjusted the lighting, it's everything's like, you know, perfect, right? Like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, dang, I'm so comfortable. That would never really happen in nature. So that's why when I traveled, I was like, wow, I'm uncomfortable, it's sweaty, it's cold, it's windy, all of these external forces that our ancestors were used to, right? So we would be very in tune with the environment, because we would have to. I mean, we would be otherwise really uncomfortable. So we look at the stars, look at the moon. We as women would know how to adjust our cycle, et cetera, et cetera. But because we are literally disconnected from all of that, so we don't know how to respond and gain that feedback, right? Because we never taught.
Yeah.
And so we do the same thing to our bodies while, and I call her she. So my body, she's been trying to communicate. She doesn't really speak English. She's communicating just like you would communicate with a dog. Or when I was traveling and I met someone who didn't speak English, was a sign language. Mm-hmm. And here we are. I'm not doing the same practice to my own body when she's just showing the symptoms. And whatever the symptoms are, people get like, oh, what did you do about the skin? What did you do about your hair? It's like, it's not about that. It's just, she's just trying to poke you.
Get our attention.
But because at the end of the day, you just need to build an environment that has no room for disease.
Yes.
That's all you need to do. It's a home where the disease cannot live.
Yes.
And that's, if you can nail that, it doesn't matter whether it's hair or nails or, I don't know, skin.
Yeah. And that's our, like, you know, that's our, how we're designed. Homeostasis, yeah. Getting back to that ease and flow of how we're designed. And so much of our modern world and gets in the way, whether it's chemicals, all of these things that make our lives convenient are actually in the end killing us. And these, the elements gave us, you know, beneficial stress. And we're removing all those things and then introducing stresses like chemicals and toxic stress that are literally killing
us. And no one
us.
Even understands. I think it's just only, I had a bit of a burnout. And so I live between here and Bali, because in Bali I'm completely disconnected. Live on an island, you know, walk barefoot. I'm in a different time zone. So all of a sudden, I don't spend time on my phone because everyone's asleep in the US. So I just get to respond like proper Tim Ferriss technique, when you just have a whole day to respond. And then I can't achieve that in the US. You know, I'm still like responding in the energy of responding. But now that I come back to the US, I'm like, I hear that buzzing sound. I hear, like, I just Ubered here. And the guy's like, artificial smell. Like, the moment you cleanse yourself, you notice so much more. And you feel like, wow, this is so artificial. Like, the old me from 3 years ago wouldn't even notice any of this.
Right.
And so this is all these stressors. Your body's constantly bombarded. We are exposed to 168 chemicals a day as women. And so no wonder you're tired. Mm-hmm. Like, your body's just trying to keep you alive.
Working
overtime.
If
you're not really, like, supporting her, then, you know, really almost like you're contributing to her suffering. And so I think that's not from like a mean way. I think my biggest goal for this book was to make it relatable and understand that, you know, we still want to live in this world. Not everyone wants to move to an island. And what can we do? And I think even when I think back, it's like, it's very in, like, wellness is very in. But when did your documentary came out? What year was it?
December of 2017.
Yeah.
So
it feels like it was like the first like wave, and like you were at the forefront of really people claiming their power back. And it's not about listening to wellness influencers either. It's not about doctors, but it's like this idea that, like, oh, now the doctors are not trained, we should listen to biohackers or wellness influencers. No, don't listen to any of us.
Yeah.
Just, you know best, right? Like, this, we're just searching and we're just doing the same work you're doing, which is trying to figure out what's best for us, right? And we share these conversations only to spark your interest. And you can read a book like this one and be like, oh, does this resonate? Does it not resonate? And use your own intuition to see if it does.
Yes, our bodies are such magical instruments.
Yeah.
And there's been all this interference that have gotten in the way of communicating with us. And that, just like you said, the more you're unaware, just with lack of education or knowledge, and then also the more that you're just in it and not, and just fully overburdened with toxins, you know, the chemical smells, the sounds, all of the pollution in our environment is not going to register. But once you do step out and spend more time in nature, once you detox your body, tune the instrument, you know, through biohacking and just, you know, spiritual practices and everything else, then you're so much more sensitive, because that's how our bodies are built to survive. And we have all these sensitive sensors and, you know, ways to process our environment in order to survive. And lots of those things are getting muddled in our modern environments.
Yeah, because we're in the fight, in the survival mode, literally, because that stress of all of these factors is putting us in a survival mode. So of course you're not thinking about the spirituality or what you said. It's like, that would be very helpful for you to just maybe process some old emotions that are, you know, brewing, right? And, you know, I saw Joe Dispenza, of course. It's like, yeah, you are the placebo, right? Like, you, the person, the healthiest, most vibrant version of you needs a version of you that's different than who you used to be. As a, you know, you have to change on so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really stay the same person if you want to achieve different results. So
yes. And I just want to, you wrote a great definition of biohacking, because again, just like heal, that word triggers people, because they're like, oh God, these, you know, like a Dave Asprey. But, you know, he had his own healing journey, and then he put all of his resources to what is really wealth, which is our health. He was sick as a dog, making millions of dollars and, you know, great job in Silicon Valley as a hacker and computer programmer, whatever else he did. and CEO of like software companies, whatever. And he couldn't function because he was so ill. And so he invested in his health, and he's sharing that knowledge with the world to help us shift as well. So I love it. He coined the term biohacking because he was a computer hacker, but I think it was a beautiful that you included in the book because it says biohacking, to change the environment outside of you and inside of you so you are intimately in tune with your biology to allow you to upgrade your body, mind, and life. Noun, the art and science of becoming superhuman. And we are meant to be superhuman. Yeah. So much more, we have so much more potential for, you know, longevity and also vitality than we are experiencing in this modern life.
100%. I think it's also like, I think if you asked me 5 years ago if I want to live longer, I'd be like, I'm good. And now that I feel freaking amazing, I'm like, this is so good. I'm just getting started. I'm like, I need to pick up a hobby. I just watched the Netflix movie Naiad, you know, the swimmer. Oh my God.
The jellyfish really, in the mouth and like.
Yeah, so basically, it's for those who don't know, it's about a swimmer who attempted to swim from Cuba to Key West in Florida. She tried at 28, didn't do it, then stopped swimming for 30 years. And at 61, she's like, I'm going to do it again. And every doctor was like, it's not humanly possible to swim for, I think it's 60 hours nonstop in the open ocean.
Oh, gosh.
And so she tried once and again and again. So she tried four more times, couldn't do it. Jellyfish attacked her, almost killed her. There were some sharks, there was a hurricane, whatever. She finally did it at 64 as the first person in history. And this just gets me so excited because we have this idea that it's like, if I didn't achieve something by 20, like that's it. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you feel like maybe I have the last push at 30. I am just getting started. I just picked up horse riding. I have a long list of things I'm going to be starting in my 40s and in my 50s. And I'm like, this is amazing that once you have that energy and you see people like Dr. Mark Hyman, who's just like 64 is amazing. Like, yeah. I have so much energy. So imagine how much time that actually is. That's another 30 or 20 or whatever many years ahead of you. Mm-hmm. That's a long time when you think back what happened 20 years ago. It feels like a lifetime almost. So the energy is the best currency, you know, and like you just said, that health is wealth. But for me, my favorite currency isn't US dollars, it's energy. Because energy is better than time. Because I can come here for 2 hours and just be low energy and kind of feel like, oh my God. Or I can come for 20 minutes and be like fully present. Yeah. And that's going to feel way more fulfilling for my soul, for your soul, for everyone involved, just because I can bring the energy.
Yeah, totally. Energy is, you know, the undercurrent of health. And
also good energy. Like your energy is so calming and so like good, right? Like you come in and it's just like, oh, good. Good for my nervous system. But I'm guessing it has taken you a little bit to figure out your own shit, so to say.
And even like, you know, as you know, as recent as like a month ago, it just depends. Like, I've had a really tough year last year and the year before. Like, it's just been a really hard period. And, you know, at certain points, I'm like, my tools are not working. And, you know, being a mother of a small child and wanting to consciously parent, but then not being resourced and like losing my shit and then feeling guilty. But then I have repair and reparenting. It's like, it's all so much. So, like, I know so much. But at the same time, you have to allow yourself grace because we really are doing the best we can in the moment with
what
we've got.
That's the next documentary. We have Heal, and then part two is going to be grace, because I think that's the missing link to actually your ability to heal. If you're so hard on yourself, like, you won't really heal. Yeah. But if I imagine myself, I was like, I couldn't fall asleep. And all I kept thinking yesterday, I was like, damn it, you have an interview tomorrow. Such a busy day, back to back to back. If you don't get sleep, you're going to feel absolutely exhausted. And that makes me even more upset.
Yeah,
and I'm like, but tonight, like that night last night, I was like, I'm in bed with myself. I mean, that's pretty good. Like, I'm sleeping with myself. And I love you. So I started talking to myself, which might sound crazy to people. I was like, wow, here I am, like, thinking about how I'm going to be perceived by some other people tomorrow. But I'm here right now with myself, not giving myself grace for just needing a second to fall asleep. You know, you wouldn't do it to a child. If a child's like, Mom, I'm feeling super anxious. I had a busy day. you'd be like, oh, let's read a bedtime story, or let's just, it's okay, you know, mm-hmm. it happens. So why we're not bringing this to ourselves?
Yeah, totally.
I'm guilty of that. I literally, less than 24 hours ago. So I'm learning grace as much as possible.
And it's a work in progress. You know, you're spiraling up and expanding outward, and then, you know, you might slip back down in a moment. Mm-hmm. And so...
Well, the assignment is greater for you as well, right? If you feel like you're... it's been a difficult year, you're probably thinking like, but I am already, you know, these assignments are going to be mm-hmm. be greater and greater and greater.
Yeah, the challenges are
the growth on top of growth.
Exactly. the oven is turning up, the heat is turning up. But you know, the book is entitled Biohack Like a Woman, because, and you can explain why we need to approach it from a, you know, women and men differently. But what I love is, as we're talking and how we're so, you know, women just historically are just so hard on themselves, which is why we have all these mystery illnesses, because we're just like beating ourselves up in our mind and trying to, you know, do everything. And
it's 80% of autoimmune disease are women.
Yeah.
80%.
Exactly. And I thought I wrote it down, but it was something about, you wrote the book to support the women who are supporting everybody else. And that's what we do. And I think that's so beautiful. So tell me why we need to, you realized and woke up as you dipped your toe in the macho-ness of biohacking world, why you became aware that we need to approach women differently.
There, biohacking has felt like it's been a very male-dominated space. And I feel like even right now, you know, if as you hang out in the biohacking space, everyone's one-upping each other about longer time in this, you know, cold plunge and sauna and doing these biohacks and those. And I just got to a point, I'm like, oh God, like I can't keep up. Like I have a real life going on as well. Like what's actually moving the needle? And do we really need to all of them? And like, sure, if your full-time job is being a biohacker and you don't have anything else going on, go for it.
Yeah.
But I think that's a very masculine energy of like competition and excelling at everything and just pushing the needle. And I think the feminine energy that has been lacking in biohacking is like, well, perhaps you need some rest, you know, because recovery might be, you know, if you're not feeling, say, like, let's just focus on making you feel good and safe in your body. And that like motherly energy that you mm-hmm. would have to a child. And I realized that was like, for women, I said an overwhelmed woman doesn't biohack. There's this saying that a confused customer doesn't buy and an overwhelmed woman does biohack. So I obviously have a big platform that was interested in traveling. I started talking about biohacking. They're like, this is too complicated. You're doing way too much and women would just do nothing. So I asked myself, what is free without spending any money? What's most basic, simplest way for me to start? And so in the book I say, like, I don't even want you to change your diet, because that's the number one book that you, whenever there's biohacking or whatever, it's like, eat this, eat that, da da da. And for me, it's like I'm not a grocery whatever, like the meal plan person.
No. Yeah.
And then when I see, it's like, this day eat 7 things and 5 days later have those, and I immediately got stressed because I'm like, oh, I can't have that. And I go to a restaurant, I'm like, oh wait, it has garlic, I can't have garlic, so that means I have 90%. Oh, but this has grains, and then I also can't do dairy.
It's and so rigid and stressful.
Yeah, and we just freak out. So I realized that from my experience, eating food in the right order, having a fast, like good fasting routine according to my cycle, as well as just having 3 meals a day, so not constantly grazing and just giving your body a break, your new gut. And so that is enough of a difference. If you want to change your diet for something healthier, go for it. But like science even says, changing those 3 things would actually help you change your biology. And then ultimately, you'll still want to eat healthier, because the better you feel, the healthier you want to eat.
Yeah.
But the initial jump is just too drastic to do a cleanse. That's why I'm not a big fan of cleanses and whatnot, because it's just like, for someone who is living a standard American diet, if they go on a juice cleanse from Erewhon, they will be absolutely miserable.
This episode is made possible by Factor.
I don't know about you, but I'm always on the run these days, and unfortunately, I don't always have time to fix myself a balanced, healthy meal. In fact, let's be honest, I rarely do. I usually just grab a cottage cheese and run out the door, or I slap some avocado on a piece of toast and eat it in the car on the way to my next thing. That is why I'm so grateful I found Factor. Their two-minute meals are pre-prepared, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved and delivered right to my door. Factor has over 35 different options a week to choose from, including keto, calorie smart, vegan and veggie, and more. So whatever dietary guidelines you follow, Factor makes it easy and delicious. Factor is truly the next best thing to having a private chef. And they did the math. It's less expensive than takeout, and you can get as much or as little as you need depending on what your week looks like. You choose from 6 to 18 meals per week and can pause or reschedule anytime. Planning, prepping, and cooking meals takes up so much time and brain power. Factor meals are 100% ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup involved. Factor will save you energy and stress when it comes to eating healthy, which makes those moments that you do have time to cook so much more enjoyable and creative. Head to factormeals.com/heal50 and use code HEAL50 to get 50% off. That's code HEAL50. HEAL50 at factormeals.com/heal50 to get 50% off. This episode is also made possible by Bite. I know you've heard me say it before, but I love clean products and companies that are conscious about reducing plastic waste. That's why I love, love, love Bite. Most commercial toothpastes are filled with harsh chemicals, artificial flavors, and preservatives. Not stuff you want to be putting in your mouth, let alone swallowing. And plastic toothpaste tubes are filling up our landfills and ending up in our beloved oceans. And now that I started using Bite toothpaste bits, my mouth and my conscience are squeaky clean. When I first tried the Bite toothpaste bits, I'm going to be honest, it's a bit weird. You toss one in your mouth, start chewing, and it foams up just like normal toothpaste, and you just start brushing with your wet toothbrush. But now that I'm used to it, which happens very quickly, I swear my mouth has never truly felt so clean. They come in these reusable glass jars that are easy to travel with, and there's no chance of a big toothpaste mess. My other favorite Bite product is the whitening gel. It's also free of harsh chemicals, comes in this cute tiny glass jar with a tiny wooden paintbrush to apply it on your teeth. It's fast, easy, and my teeth have never been so white. The Bite whitening gel is way more effective and less harsh than a professional whitening, which I've tried and will never do again. Bite is offering our listeners 20% off your first order. Go to trybite.com/heal or use code HEAL at checkout to claim this deal. That's trybite.com/HEAL. I think it's genius what you set up as like the level one biohack, which is not because we're, as women, doing so much, you know, multitasking and taking care of just so many facets of our life. A lot of us are working and mothers or just even just working, whatever. One of those things is enough to keep us busy. So I thought it was genius just changing those three things without changing much of what's in them or anything. Mm-hmm. Like just do what you do, but change the way, the order in which you eat your food. This is like foundational and great. And then, you know, start on like fasting. It's intermittent fasting, but it's not a grueling amount of time. You start small, like 12 hours,
or add 20 minutes to whatever it is. So if you have your dinner at 7 p.m. or you had one last night, just have dinner 20 minutes early or have breakfast 20 minutes later. And again, every biohacker was like, you know, go for 20 hours. Da-da-da. And I'm like, no, just 20 minutes and you will work your way to it. Mm-hmm. And it's the point is like you have two options. You have three options, actually. Number one, change nothing about what you do and feel the way you feel. Yeah. So that's an option. The truth is probably you will feel worse over time if you already feel not so great. Number two, go on a very drastic change, which will take up a lot of your time, will make you feel miserable because you're working against your biology. So the beginning will be really miserable. That could be 2 or 3 months where you actually feel like you wanna, like you're suffering, you're going against your all your hormones and biology and glucose crashes that are making you wanna eat the fridge or whatnot. Or you go slowly and work with your biology. So all of these changes, like, don't even feel like you're on a diet, mm-hmm. right? Because it's like so easy.
Yeah.
And even when I recommend a couple of things that I include in my diet, I just say these are preferences, these aren't rules. Preferences, mm-hmm. like, okay, if I have an option, I'm gonna prefer to have grass-fed meat over not grass-fed meat, but I'm not gonna die, you know, like,
yeah.
And I think that gave me so much more permission and so much freedom and so much more enjoyment in life and such a healthier relationship with myself, mm-hmm. and my body that, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I love, this is, again, so genius, because if you just are become aware that when your body is fasting, like digesting food takes, so the just changing these three things, which are not changing anything about the diet, so it still feels very easy that way, but you just become aware that a long period of fasting allows your body to go, oh, I don't need to spend energy digesting food, I'm gonna go and repair and rejuvenate and regenerate tissues. And so the more that you go, I say, okay, so I'm just gonna have a bigger time between eating and have a shorter eating window. So if I can fast for 16 hours, which includes your sleep, you know, anywhere from 12 to 16 hours, mm-hmm. and then just eat your three meals in that 8 to 10 hour window during the day, that feels very easy, and you also have the new information and meaning and awareness that giving your body that time off allows your body to clean, get rid of toxins, and regenerate, yeah. and rejuvenate.
There's something called the Migrating Motor Complex, MMC, and it's basically like a little caboose that is responsible for transporting the food from your stomach down your intestine. And so that takes about 90 to 120 minutes. That's why, you know, from the food to get digested and moved down. Every time you eat, it leaves the food where it, you know, halfway through to go up and get even more food. So if you eat every hour or two and, you know, we're having lattes and we're nibbling and this whole idea that, you know, snacking is great, which is an invention from the 80s to sell you more food to eat. And if you look at the graphs, it was like there was no snacking in the 70s and people were like hot and looked great and had no issues. And so the
smoking cigarettes and doing cocaine and right? No, I'm kidding.
No, but it's true. Like it feels like there has to be so much effort put into staying fit, mm-hmm. and that just wasn't the case, you know. People just were fit,
yeah,
naturally. And so that came from snacking, from inflammation, and from cetols and whatnot, and sedentary life and whatnot. But if you just realize that your body just needs a second as it's moving that food down your intestine through MMC, that kind of blew my mind when I realized, yeah. I was like, oh wow, like it needs 90 to 120 minutes. Yeah. That's it. So if I had a meal, at least 2 hours, if you can do three, now it's digested. Now I can think, yeah. about my next
and
meal.
You're
so
at least 3 hours. Stacking up, loading, and then all of a sudden you're bloated and you got all this undigested food and you're sick because you've interrupted that natural cycle or natural,
yeah,
process.
I get bloated when I eat too often. Like today is one of those days when I was just like busy and crazing and I'm like, oh, I need to take my own advice because I notice that my body's not happy when I eat too, like smaller meals, but too often,
yeah.
personally.
And then the next one of the easy three things to change. So now we know fasting and the little MM caboose. Then it's eating in the right order, which is all about glucose spikes. And yeah. before you tell us what that right order is, I love, it's so many charming things in the book. But one thing, you were talking about glucose spikes, which I've never even worn a glucose monitor, but now I want to just to like up my game a little bit, leads to hormone imbalance, saggy skin, cellulite, bloating, fatigue, and general bitchiness. I'm like, nobody in the medical establishment has called general bitchiness a real symptom, but that's like a real thing.
It's a symptom.
If your glucose of sugar spikes or drops or whatever, like, we just become generally bitchy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a thing. It was so genius. I was like, so anyways, talk to us about eating in the correct order to minimize glucose spikes.
Yeah. So I was just under 90 pounds, which is very, very skinny. Teeny tiny, and went to a doctor because I couldn't heal through all my traveling. And the doctor's like, it doesn't make sense that a simple cut wouldn't heal. And so he checked my hormones and he's like, your cortisol is super high I was like, oh, from traveling. He's like, but you're pre-diabetic. And I'm like, well, I don't eat sugar. Like, there's no way. And so from being vegan and eating a lot of carbs and processed carbs and just not paying attention, that you can have carbs. That's what I say in the book. But it's eating the carbs in the right order. That's what made the biggest difference. So glucose isn't just something that people that are worried about being a diabetic should, you know, this is like, if you're feeling like you're bitchy, I'm like, well, perhaps it's a glucose, especially in the afternoon, like 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. And you feel like you're craving for that, craving a donut, or, you know, feel like you're just looking for a fight with your partner, right? So been there, done that. Yeah. Anyways, so what that whole chapter has been inspired by Jessie, the glucose goddess, who she's the pioneer when it comes to sharing everything about glucose. And I love following her. So when I listened to what she said, I checked with myself after I already was wearing a glucose monitor, but I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. So basically, at every meal, you can eat whatever you want, but we're going to start with vegetables. So having green calories first, whether that's just because we want to have fiber. Fiber is like a sponge that kind of creates like a mesh for all the food to fall into and not overwhelm your stomach. It's almost like sending a text to your stomach saying, it's like, hey, I'm coming. More things are coming, right? It's just like polite thing to do.
Okay.
So it's like you're sending fiber first, so all your vegetables. Then you're going to have meat or protein or fats to just help. This is kind of like you know, like a little introduction or just like buzzing on the door. And then finally, carbs and sugar. So when you have food in the right order, so again, fiber, then protein and fat, and then starches and sugar, turns out we don't get a massive glucose spike. So we can have our cake and eat it, aka we can have the carbs without having a massive glucose spike that comes with it, that leads to aging and saggy skin and hormonal imbalance and PCOS, which is called the diabetes of the ovaries, which is so common these days. And so we can now realize, I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't seem like it's that difficult. And if I want to have a bowl of pasta, I'm just going to have more vegetables. So we're actually adding more calories, but in reality, it allows you to just have a proper diet, you know, without eliminating a certain group of food. Because again, I know on paper everything looks great until you actually start working with women that live real lives that are never included in those studies, and you realize that for them it's too much to eliminate a lot of
comfort
big food groups. If you know, like, have whatever you want, just have it in the right order, you're going to feel so good that you will have less of that chocolate.
You'll start to need the bad cravings more. Your body kind of heals itself, regulates itself if you just do those three basic things, and then kind of the hard decisions become easier and kind of unconsciously make themselves.
And there's a limit to your self-control, to your discipline, right? Like it's there's a discipline fatigue in a way. And so why would you waste it on food? I think we all do. And then you should be focusing your energy on like how to make generational wealth or how to play with your kid or whatever it might be, not on eating. But our mental chatter is all about like food and eating and what should I eat, what should I be eating, and you know, that's not good.
Those three are just genius. The third one that we kind of touched on, but I'll just define it here, is eating only three meals and not snacking. Of course, if for some reason you need to have a snack, don't beat yourself up, but in the general thing, it's like have a big period of time where you're fasting, intermittent fasting, eat three meals a day, and then eat in the right order: veggies, proteins and fats, and then starches and sugar.
Yeah. And for me, snacking, it's like, I'm not a fan of snacking. I was like, if I'm hungry, and like yesterday, I needed four meals a day. So I just had a normal meal. It wasn't big, but it was still like, it was vegetables. It was a little bit of protein and fat. It wasn't a snack, you know, it wasn't chips or nuts or three stalks of like celery to just get me by. I actually had, if my body really needs the energy, I'm just going
to
eat.
And then you gave yourself that 2 hours afterwards to...
Yeah.
So smart. Okay, so then... So you mentioned something earlier about, you know, or we talked about how you tune into your own body to listen to what it needs, because it's going to be different for each woman based on their lifestyle, what's going on in their lives, where they were born, what diet they grew up on, everybody's, you know, genetics.
Yeah, DNA, it's a big one. So like one of the things I do with women, sorry to interrupt, but is actually we're testing the DNA, and we can tell like how well you metabolize coffee, how well you metabolize saturated fat. So, you know, I love a high fat diet, but I have a slight risk of gaining weight, but some people have a high risk of gaining weight from saturated fat, and some people have high risk of gaining weight for carbohydrates. So you kind of need to know that as you're adjusting your diet. We all should have protein, but whether you're going to go on a really high fat, saturated fat diet, or whether perhaps it would be better for you to focus a little bit more on carbohydrates, it's going to depend on your DNA.
Yeah. So that's kind of the question. As you say, you know, follow the science and then tune into what works for me. What testing do you recommend people to seek out? Is it, I mean, you're a health coach and a nutritional coach.
Yeah.
So you know the proper testing. Is do we need to go to a naturopath or a functional medicine doctor? What do you recommend to start?
I think it's so hard to say because, like, it's almost like saying, like, I believe in naturopath. I think they're like the new black, you know, or the functional doctors. It's like they're really in and they get it. They look at you holistically. Obviously, it all depends on particular person, but as a rule of thumb, I would 100% go to a naturopath for what I need, or a functional medicine doctor. And so that would be, I would ask them first, if I wasn't feeling well, is to check my heavy metals, to check my hormones, do my blood work, and do the Dutch test, which is like for hormones. And I would do my gut test, which is, you know, you send a sample of your poop, the DNA test. These are the things that I would personally do. And then going from there, depending if we're fixing or if we're improving or what's going on, but that would be a conversation with your doctor, obviously.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay. So tell me, I love the story in the book about your kind of download to start, you know, speaking to yourself better and loving and embracing your fat. And I think that's, you know, language is so powerful. Language is vibration. And we just, this is my like woo-woo esoteric thing, but I'm so fascinated with like Masaru Emoto and the study of water and how water holds frequency, and we're 70-ish percent water. And so the language and the intention that we're speaking towards ourselves and our cells has an effect on the health and the, you know, coherence and everything of our system. So tell me about the love your fat phenomenon and what changed for you there.
I just realized that, you know, I love Abraham Hicks, and I realized that a big part of why I got into biohacking was fixing things, right? It was just like something isn't working and we're here to fix what's broken almost. And it was pretty much focusing on the things that weren't thriving. And that, you know, I was focusing on my skin, looking in the mirror, looking at my skin, looking at my hair, instead of like looking at my knees. I'm like, oh, they're still working. Oh, and I still have my teeth and I have my fingers and they helped me with so many things today. And here I am, instead of like focusing on what I want more of, I focus on the lack, right? And so the more, whatever, where your focus attention goes, then, you know, the thing grows. And so, yes, it is super important to you know, attend to things that aren't working. But what I said at the beginning is it's more like creating a home that wouldn't even be a vibrational match to a disease, right? Because there's a disease in the body. Our friend Peter Krohn says that, he uses the term, but it's very, very true. So I just realized, like, oh, I'm so tired of hating myself. Like, I really love myself. I'm doing my best. Sometimes my best isn't good enough for a lot of people, even for me, but I am doing my best. Mm-hmm. I am always asking what's the best thing to do. And so that has been like a aha moment of like, oh yeah, like I love my fat. My fat is protecting me actually from dying. So it's like all of that, you know, all the toxins or all that excess sugar that gets stored in the fat cells that you're eating, it's protecting my organs. And so I had this apology letter that I wrote to my fat, that I was just apologizing for every time I look in the mirror and I wished it away. And now I kind of just love it. And every time I gain fat, it's like, oh, it's my protection mechanism. And someone just like, oh, I got you. And so instead of getting like, you know, we squeeze our fat and we hate it, instead of just being like, oh wow, it's there because I'm doing something about the diet that is overwhelming the body. So
I totally agree. And I've never really, I need to sit down and like write my story, but I, like you, was in the entertainment industry and was acting in front of the camera for a long time. And of course we like beat ourselves up because the camera, you know, adds this like phantom 10 pounds or whatever, but really I think just most actors are insecure, and we came up with that. But but honestly, I was like holding on in my 20s, like when I'm supposed to be in my prime, I'm running marathons, but I was holding on to this 5 to 6 pounds extra that just I knew, and I always had an arm complex, and I started like
isn't that funny that it's like some random all thing. These people and you're like meet them and like I wouldn't even cross my mind, but it's funny.
I know. Well, it's shifted. My arms literally have changed shape. And it started with like listening to Abraham Hicks and Wayne Dyer and the language that we speak to ourselves and what we put our intention and attention on. It was the same thing. I started looking in the mirror and just loving and accepting myself. And it's counterintuitive, which most genius things in life are. It's literally the opposite of what you believe, but you don't want to, nobody wants to look in the mirror and say, I love my fat, because they're scared it's going to stick around. But what we have found is that when you accept and embrace and love that part of you, all of a sudden it's like, okay, my job is done, and it dissolves away.
What you resist persists, and what you love, you know, just like surrenders. Yeah.
What you resist persists. So the more that we hate what we see in the mirror, the more subconsciously we are going to be driven to sabotage ourselves and make bad decisions. It really is what changed everything, is starting to love and accept myself.
And we do that the same to our partner. Like, I mean, story of my life with my partner. Every time I want him to change something, I'm not going to tell him 500 things he's doing right. I'm just going to mention that one thing he's doing wrong, right? Because it's like, and that's just such a you know, that's why relationships break up, because we women have this idea of excellence and we are in a relationship with someone's potential. And then when they're not that, then we just got to let them know so they can get better. And does it work?
No.
But what does help is just appreciating people. And this is something I'm learning, because I'm only learning how to do it to myself. So I can't, you can't do something that you, to others, that you're not doing to yourself, right? So that's why it's like we're so hard on ourselves. That's why we're hard on other people.
Totally. And we're projecting our pain of all the times we beat ourselves up, or this poor little child within us that wasn't taken care of as a young kid the way that they felt, you know, from their little perspective they needed to be. And oh my gosh, so much healing on this on this path, emotional and spiritual. This episode is made possible by Needed. I'm going to be really honest. I'm in my mid-40s and I'm doing everything I can to stay fertile. I'm just not ready to give up the idea of having more children. And that's why I'm so grateful I found Needed. Started by two mothers who are self-proclaimed nutrition nerds, Needed is committed to offering radically better nutrition for women at every stage of life. Needed carefully curates nutritional systems for every stage of womanhood, so you can be sure you're getting everything you need to thrive in fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, and women's health in general. They even have a system for men's fertility, since they are half the equation. I've been taking the fertility system and feel confident and at ease knowing my eggs, ovaries, and hormones are getting all the nutrition they need to keep functioning optimally, so I have a little more time to decide about having more kiddos. Needed offers products that are formulated by experts in women's health and are backed by clinical insights from their collective of over 4,000 practitioners. Their products offer the forms of nutrients your body can actually use, dosed at optimal versus bare minimum levels. They also go above and beyond with third-party tests, testing every batch to ensure the safest product. No matter what stage of life you are, Needed has something for you. Head over to thisisneeded.com and use code HEAL for 20% off your first month of Needed products. That's thisisneeded.com and use code HEAL for 20% off your first month of Needed products. This episode is also made possible by Armra. I recently discovered Armra, and boy, am I glad I did. It's not just another supplement. It's a bioactive whole food that has been an absolute game changer. A proprietary form of bovine colostrum, Armra strengthens immunity, ignites metabolism, fortifies gut health, activates hair growth and skin radiance, and powers fitness performance and recovery. Literally all the things I care about as I'm growing older and seeing my youth fade in the rear view. I don't mean to be dramatic, but this aging thing is a real bummer. Colostrum is the first nutrition we receive in life from our mother's milk, and it contains everything we need to thrive. So I'm really leaning into Armra to keep me feeling and looking my youngest for as long as humanly possible. I've noticed my hair is growing faster and thicker like it did in high school, and my skin is more plump and glowy and way less tired looking. The other great thing is the way Armra helps with metabolism and bloating, two things that also seem to get progressively worse as we age. Well, not anymore. I'm staying svelte and my belly feels lighter and flatter with the help of Armra. Oh, and I love the convenient to-go packets that I just throw in my purse and pour directly in my mouth. It's so convenient, and it also helps maintain a healthy oral microbiome too. We've worked out a special offer for my audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/heal or enter heal to get 15% off your first order. That's tryarmra.com/heal. Can you talk a little bit about, you mentioned something in the book as our period, as our fifth vital sign.
Yeah.
And how, you know, in one of the biohacks is eating and exercising according to cycle, you know, these rhythms, these mm-hmm. natural rhythms that we are so out of sync with in our modern convenient lives. So it's so profound and it's so true, yet very few women are even aware of the phases of their cycle.
Yeah, because this is not what we are being taught in, you know, in fifth grade. It's like, hey, this is what's happening in your body. So men are solar, and so their every day is the same. The cortisol goes up in the morning, right? That's the rise of cortisol. You can go for a workout, and like that's going to make your workout easier, and then it, like, just drops down throughout the day. And so women are lunar, so we have a 28-day cycle that's called infradian rhythm. And so even if you're in perimenopause or in menopause, this is still like, that's what I'm going to do once I hit that stage in life. I'm going to be freaking according to my cycle until I can, you know, to the rest of my life, because that's how nature operates. Nature never produces fruit 24/7, right? This is the very capitalistic idea that, you know, every day we have to make more money, right? There's no seasons, but nature has seasons. And so we have seasons as women as well, which is winter, spring, summer, and fall. And the moment I realized how I look at the graph of how different our hormones are, I'm like, well, I'm a different person at ovulation than I am yes. when I'm menstruating. So I'm like, why am I not adjusting my diet or my workouts to that? Because your hormones are completely different, and also completely different to men. So I can't take advice from men because they just know what it's like to have, you know, all of those things going on. Multiple, you know, we have estrogen and progesterone, like the main ones, but ultimately you have four phases of the cycle. So it's the menstruation at the beginning, then you have follicular phase, ovulation, which lasts 3 days, that's where you can get pregnant, and then you have luteal phase. And so depending on where you are, so at the beginning of your cycle, your estrogen is peaking. And so I can give a comparison, like estrogen is a lot like me. She's like a very outgoing, social, blonde, like skydiving. So she's the, when your estrogen is peaking, this is a time to do a podcast or just ask for a raise and just you're
shining, you're bright, you're brilliant.
Yes, and so you're going to want to focus on like keto diet and stews and just kind of like more meats and less carbs, but just like pushing yourself, that
strength
energy
and fire
of like,
and masculine almost.
Of doing. Yeah. Like this is the time for you to do things. And then luteal phase, which is from day 21, essentially, the last 7 days of the luteal phase is where you go within, and then that beginning of your menstruation as well, which is like all about being, it's all about relaxing and all about not producing results, but just tuning in with yourself and asking what's next, right?
And letting go and shedding the past.
Yeah, and having carbs.
And curling up in bed and crying.
Yeah. But like processing emotions, but we have, there are a couple of things. First of all, the way we PMS these days is a sign of hormonal imbalance. You know, a lot of doctors say that like, if you are completely taken, you know, if you're possessed by your hormones, the chances are that your hormones are unbalanced to the point that make you feel like your PMS is much worse. I noticed that from myself, that on a day when I'm on a month where I'm like sticking to living according to the cycle, I barely PMS. But on a day, on those months where I'm like, oh, maybe I can get away with this and that, or I avoid carbs, I push myself at the gym, then I just like, it's not fun to be around me. And so when I realized the super, I was like, wow, because we're brainwashed to always be on and always be doing things, when there's a few days of a month where we go within, it's almost deemed as not valuable. Right,
because totally.
Because of way you're not working as hard, and you're weaker, and you don't want to socialize. So all of these extrovert qualities in a human are like more celebrated in the Western world. But going within, listening to your intuition, focusing on being instead of doing, that's like superpowers. You just brainwashed. I mean, I know I have been to think otherwise.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I need to give myself, my human design, I'm a projector. And so my whole life, it's like, you know, I was an actor as a young kid and out in the spotlight. And then I played a bunch of sports and it's very busy. But then there was a part of me that was like, so I would consider myself almost an introvert. Like I just needed solitude. And you need a lot more rest than I've been giving myself lately. And especially as a mom, obviously you have priorities that are not you all the time. And my child sleeps with me, so sleep sometimes eludes me, although I'm hacking it. I'm trying to figure that out, and it's working. But, yeah, it's just to know, to become aware of our cycles and the different phases and the hormones and the different needs within each phase. It's just like just that knowledge. I know in that few days leading up to my period and during my period, I have full Mother Nature permission to just relax, like, nurture myself with whatever comfort foods I need, listen to my body, rest, Netflix and chill, you know, don't be social, and just, it just gives myself permission for someone that needs permission, you know.
I need permission.
I do too.
Before understanding that this is actually what will help me prevent from burning out and actually be more productive, I was like, wait, I can be more productive if I rest? Okay, cool, I'll do that. Totally. Just to be more productive. Totally. That's like me.
The same. I'm like, but I actually, if I rest or if I meditate for, you know, 45 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the afternoon, like I'll lose 60, you know, minutes of productivity, but I'll actually have deeper rest and I'll be more productive, you know? So I'm like, but I always have to have that. Oh, but
it, you justify it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. But it's so beautiful. What we're working on right now is not only an app for help women understand like what's happening in their bodies, but also there will be a mirror app for men to also know like, oh, my partner is on day 6. This is how I can support her. So it's coming out next month.
Genius.
Yeah, because I think this is what we also need to educate men. You know, it's like, it feels like Biohack Like a Woman, a book for women, because it's about cycles. I'm like, I'm sorry, I read so many books for men. Like, I know how men like operate. Obviously, I'm not a man, but like, we somehow educate ourselves about both. But men are like, oh no, this is for women. I'm like, no, like, not that I want you to read the book, but I want you to know your partner's cycle and understand what it comes with, you know?
Yeah.
And so.
And in same-sex marriages or same-sex relationships, you know, women usually tend to, like, sync up. So they'll be okay, I'm in the app. Well, let me see where my partner is. Oh, she's a few days behind me. Okay, I'll cut her some slack, you know, whatever.
Honestly, and it's like, that's just so beautiful to, like, almost have, like, an instruction manual. And that helps you understand that sometimes it's hard to... It's easier to hack your biology, right? And to understand your biology before making these big statements of this is who I am, you know?
Yeah. And it's all about that feedback. We're getting, you know, using technology to give us this feedback, the tests to give us the feedback. And then with that knowledge, you know, make these tweaks and get back in sync with, you know, the greater nature and our nature.
Yes.
So what does a typical day? I know, I love that you're kind of like me. You do the 80-20 rule. It's like 80% foundation of like doing things
that move the needle.
That move the needle. And then 20% just living life and jumping out of airplanes. I want you to tell me about skydiving first. And then we're going to talk about just a daily routine. That's like the more typical daily routine of Aggie.
Funny. So yes, I at the point of this interview, I have over 400 jumps.
What? That's so nuts to me. I've done one, and I'm like, okay, I'm good.
But I did one, and I was like, oh my God, I was miserable. I was like, never again over my dead body. I was terrified. And you know what? Some people like do it once and they think it's fun. I was like, I was miserable the entire time. I was like, I do not get it. And so unfortunately for myself, I started dating a guy who loves skydiving. Okay. And so every weekend he's like, I'm going to go skydiving. And I was just like, I couldn't even watch a video of him skydiving because it would get me nauseous. I was that bad. Like, I was just like, oh my God, what is he doing? And so, you know, another year went by and I said, I'm so sorry, but this is really triggering that you would do that to yourself. Like, why? There's so many other cool things to do. Yeah. And so he's like, oh, you know, you're judging because you don't understand. And so he's like, why don't you just do like a course for it's 25 jobs on your own. And if you don't like it, you can, you know, you can see if you like it or not. And I'm like, okay, it's a little extreme, but I'm like, screw it. I might as well
do the 25 jumps and then we'll go to therapy.
Yes.
If you don't like it, then I'll go to therapy. Yeah. Yeah.
And so we went to Dubai, just a better place to do a license. It's warm. It's like a lot of these factors just makes it easy.
Sand is a little softer landing.
Yeah, exactly. But it's true, right? Like it's easier when you're not so good. And so I remember leading up, you have 1 day of theory where the guy just basically explains 500 ways you can die. Which, so I basically was like,
not helping.
No, this is not helping. This is what can go wrong, and this is what can go wrong. And that's why you have a second parachute. But actually, there's so many chances of it not deploying. And I was just like, oh my God. And so the next day, you wake up at 7 a.m., show up, and you literally jump holding an instructor for 60 seconds. And then he lets go of you, and you have to pull the, you know, and land by yourself. I cannot begin to tell you how much pep talk it required. I was terrified. Even when I talk about it, I'm like nervous. Yeah. I sat on the plane with my eyes closed. I was just like, oh my God, it's gonna finish. And he's like, you know, you need to open your eyes at some point. I'm like, no, I'm just gonna jump out, not even looking. And so I did one jump and then cried for like 2 hours. And I think it was like a big release with so much anxiety, fear and stress and anxiety letting go. And so within 3 weeks, I did 25 jumps. And I think I cried after every single one. I was like, this is so hard. And they push you throughout these 25 jumps. Well, I'm like low altitude, so like super low to the ground. And doing this, doing that. And so I finally, after 25 jumps, I was like, okay, I'll do one more with my boyfriend. Because after 25, you are allowed to jump with someone else. It's like, I'll do one more with my then boyfriend, who's now my fiance. And then we'll see. And I did that one with him. I was just like, oh, I get it.
Aww. So what we do for love.
Yeah.
We risk our life for love.
Yeah, literally. So that's something that it just helped me like realize when you're surrounded by so many skydivers that are genuinely not scared and you realize, how is that person not scared jumping out of plane and I am? Like, is it a different gene? Is it the story I tell myself about myself or what is it? Because for me, it's like, it's not even about skydiving. It just shows me how much fear I'm carrying. And the moment I was able to let go of that fear, I wasn't afraid of doing so many other things because I wasn't letting myself buy into the fear anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Because it was like the ultimate fear, right? When you face your ultimate fear, like death,
yeah,
you're like, oh, actually, amazing things are on the outside of fear. So, yeah.
That's amazing. And you must have had that experience like in life where something feels fearful, and then that training of those 25 jumps and pushing through your fear and having that emotional release, it almost like you did resilience training and you could be like, oh, I recognize this feeling and I can breathe and push forward and ask for what I need.
And so everyone has different medicine. Like for my boyfriend who he's never been scared of jumping, like that's not his medicine. Mm-hmm. His medicine is, you know, having boundaries, for example, right? Like he's terrified or saying what he thinks. And I am a straight shooter. I'm going to tell you everything I think about you. No problem. But
what sign are you?
I'm on a cusp of Virgo and Libra.
Okay.
23rd of September.
Yeah. I'm an Aries and I'm like, I'm too direct sometimes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My husband's like, whoa. Like,
and he's like, I'm so sorry for my Polish boyfriend. Eastern Europeans don't have a filter. And I'm like, this was me with a filter, babe. So, yeah. But yeah, so everyone has different medicine. For me, that was like the scariest thing I could possibly do. And when you like face the scariest thing ever, a lot of things just fall into place, right?
That's awesome.
And for my daily routine, just not to make it too long, but I honestly don't really have one. I used to be so rigid. I could just recite you 500 things that I'm doing. And I just have so much more grace for myself. So every day I'm like, yes, there's need to be some structure. And, you know, I have Shilajit, I have some spirulina in the morning. I have my morning matcha, either bulletproof or just wait a little later to have it. I sit in front of my red light panel. I meditate. But sometimes I don't meditate because I just feel like that's not the right thing. And I journal. But I just make it a point to spend time with myself. Sometimes it just means going for a walk with my dog, you know, and just actually paying attention to him. And that's just my morning routine. And just like, for me, it's not even having anything specific, but I have a reminder on my phone that just reminds me every minute to take a breath and just stop. And it's like, this is, you know, these are the days that you were praying for, you know, a year or two or three ago. To have a podcast, to talk to people like yourself and whatnot. And I can just pinch myself that someone like you would even read my book, that I even have a book in English. I didn't even speak the language 10 years ago. So it's like all of these things are just like so easy for me to just say like, oh, there's a spelling mistake on page 48 and my hair is a mess and this and that. It would be so easy for me to tell you 500 things that I'm doing wrong. And my meditation was only 7 minutes and not 70 today. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, my word for 2024 is health, but also grace, and just allowing myself to just let it be.
I love it. That's the same with me. Just grace. We're doing the best we can. And anyways, I just thank you. And I love the follow-up. Everybody's like, what's heal two? And I'm like, heal two I don't think can exist, but grace can. We might have to do a movie.
Yeah, I think this is it.
I love it. Yeah. You're going
to... I would be so curious to see like how different people... What happens to people when we offer them grace or they offer themselves grace and actually do studies of the power of not pushing yourself. Mm-hmm. Because that's masculine. We know that works. But it doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah. And then the other thing is like we need an antidote to cancel culture right now. And othering and, you know, sides of like... whether it's a war or politics, it's like we need to have grace for the other side. And like everybody has a reason for their perspective. And it may not be aligned with ours, but like have grace for what I believe and what my reality is and have grace that, you know, there's 7.8 billion points of reality and like have a little grace for humanity, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, beautiful. I love that.
Yeah. Well,
where you heard it first. Grace is coming out.
Grace is coming out. You're going to be an executive producer on the film or part of it or in it with me.
Oh, 100%.
But where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Aggie. It's A-G-G-I-E. Or check out my podcast, Biohacking Bestie, on Spotify. Well, I'd love to have you on the show.
Oh, so, my gosh. Yeah. Let's do it. We could talk for hours.
Yeah. Thank you. Amazing. Thank you.
Biohacking Bestie. And please pick up Biohack Like a Woman. It's like I said, I was just reading up for research, and I was like, oh, I got to get back to this because this is just – it's so simple and implementable into your lives. You're a busy female and male, for those of you listening, lives, and it's just such a gift. So thank you for sharing everything.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Aww, thank you. This is so exciting.
Thank you for listening to the Heal Podcast. Be sure to tune in every Thursday for more empowering wisdom and inspiring healing stories. And make sure you hit the follow button on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss that one episode that holds the answer you've been searching for. And please rate and review us so that we can grow and reach more people. Thanks so much, and be well.